Hello and welcome. On today's edition of the Daily Remedy Podcast, we're going to focus on changes in healthcare, whether we should go through the courts or through traditional political venues, lobbying, grassroots advocacy, and other means such as reaching out to your legislators through direct or indirect communication. So again, courts or politics? What is the best way to affect change, to essentially be engaged civically in terms of your overall healthcare and healthcare public policy? To decide which is the best route, let's first break down the pros and cons of each approach, courts and politics, and then discuss in what circumstances one would be better than the other. Let's start with the courts. Courts are complex. Courts are scary. But most of all, courts are expensive. And to really understand how the court and legal system works overall, you have to have certain financial and economic resources in order to leverage the full capabilities of the court. They're not readily available to the mass public. As sad as it seems, and as much as we like to believe that we live in a democracy, the courts are anything but democratic and anything but fair. In order to get a fair shake in the courts, you have to really understand how the courts work. So they are complex. But out of the courts comes something that's very powerful, perhaps more powerful than many of the laws that we follow in today's society. We get case law, which is essentially interpretations made by judges that are repeated over and over. And through the repetition, the verdict becomes the law. A great example of this would be separate but equal, which is a common phrase all of us are taught in school, particularly as it relates to the start of the civil rights movement back in the 60s, but really beginning in the 1950s. Separate but equal was an interpretation that can mean so many things, and throughout history has meant many things. Separate but equal first meant, back in the 19th century, that African Americans, the descendants of slaves, and non-African Americans, typically European descendant Americans, traditionally called Caucasians, although we don't usually use that designation anymore, European-based Americans wanted to be socially separate from African Americans. So the phrase separate but equal came to mean equal in law but separate in society. That led to all the Jim Crow laws that we saw over the past 50 years from 1900 to 1950. Following Brown versus Board of Education, the seminal case that really highlights everything successful about the civil rights movement, separate but equal came to mean equal in law and equal in society. An interpretation that has been repeated over and over to the point where that is now case law. That is the power of the courts. They can take an interpretation and use that to enact social policy and other laws that are enacted by legislators. So in many ways, the courts are very powerful in that they have the ability to strike down laws created by legislators at the federal and state level and determine the interpretation of laws. So that is one power that courts have that cannot be understated, even though it's often difficult to understand. But perhaps more important than the ability to give generalized interpretations is the court's ability to give specific interpretations, meaning how the courts interpret certain laws in certain criminal and civil cases determines how the law applies to the individual. If there is a law, for example, stating that you can only go 80 miles per hour on a highway. And the courts interpret that to mean, under any circumstance, 80 miles per hour is the limit, and anything above that is a crime. Well, that's a lot different than 80 miles per hour, but if you go a little bit above, or if during open times outside of rush hour, you go 85, 90, that's okay. That's a very different interpretation, and that would change the pattern of driving on the highway. Those have significant consequences, although really the biggest consequence in that example would be how fast you get to your designation. But in more realistic, complex scenarios, those interpretations can mean the difference between going to prison or getting probation, or even being charged with a crime or any civil liability at all. The interpretations of the laws, of the broad statutes, of the case law, directly impact how the individual is being impacted. Meaning, the interpretation of the law through the courts determine how the laws are affected by those most vulnerable. And that, more than any case law, more than any power of the courts to strike down a law, is easily the most powerful aspect of courts. Now, let's contrast that with politics. So again, we have courts and we have politics. Now, everything I stated before would probably lead you to think that courts are quite powerful, and there's no way that politics can match that. But if you turn on the news, or if you go on the internet, you don't hear judges, you don't see judges or any of the deliberation nearly as much as you see politicians bickering, a politician advocating for this issue, a politician advocating for that issue. It seems as though the media is enamored with politicians and legislators far more than any judge or attorney, barring any sort of controversy or any sort of outside of the norm behavior by members of the judiciary. Why is that? Well, because legislators control the politics, and politics is an extension of how we think. Politics is an extension of the beliefs held in society. And that is also very powerful. What Nancy Pelosi says, how she thinks, impacts how we think and how we address certain conversations. The President of the United States determines effectively the culture of the country. There is a reason why there were mass riots when President Donald Trump was in office, and those mass riots that nearly destroyed the fabric of urban communities all but disappeared under President Joe Biden. The politicians impact the culture of the country, and that culture is epitomized through politics. It's very broad. It's very pervasive. And that is essentially the power of politics. It overwhelms you. It influences how you think, and it impacts the decisions you make. Now, that isn't nearly as complex as what transpires in the court, but it doesn't have to be, because most of us do not make complex decisions throughout our day. Most of us, our day is a series of simple decisions, one after the other, a decision to wake up, a decision to brush your teeth, a decision to eat breakfast, a decision to go to work. These are very simple, habituated decisions that we make throughout our day. We gravitate towards the simple, towards the rituals, towards the habits. And that is why we gravitate towards politics over the courts, because we like simple. Simple may be wrong. Simple may be right. Simple may be incomplete. But we like it because it's easy to digest and it's easy for us to understand. That's the power of politics. Politicians can sway the country through a simple narrative. Think about President Obama back in 2007 and 2008 when he was running for president and first became president. His message was very clear and very powerful. The first African-American president going into the office, changing the culture changing the glass ceiling for what an African and what an African-American can accomplish in America. Whether that was true, whether that was untrue, that was the message. And it was simple and powerful. And that is the impact of politics. Simple, powerful, broadcasted messages that reverberate across the country through the minds of the public far more easily than any case law or any court decision can. So the subtext around comparing the courts and politics really is a discussion around what is complex and what is simple, and what responds to change, what prompts change. As I'm sure you're understanding and where I'm leading to, you really need both. But that's only half, not even a portion, of the real answer. Needing both seems to be the obvious resolution to courts versus politics. But more than recognizing you need both, you have to understand how they work together and what each can do in terms of affecting change. The courts can hit the core of issues, address all the complexities underlying an issue, and really help legislators and those in positions of power understand the implications of simplifying, of reducing a complex concept into a simplified message that can be digested through the political world. Politics can broadcast that reduced message. So effectively, if you want to make change in healthcare, you have to understand how the complexity of that issue will be interpreted, adjudicated in the courts, and how it will be reduced and broadcasted throughout the political arena, throughout the minds of the public. And that dichotomy is really the essence of understanding how change takes place and how to be optimally engaged in healthcare. So the question then becomes, where to focus first, the courts or the politics? Well, rather than answering one versus the other, it would be better to frame how to think and how to think on the issues so that you understand which one to go to sooner than later. To understand how to affect change in healthcare, you must first begin, is the issue familiar to the public? If it is familiar to the public, then it has likely gone through political cycles, and there is already a well-versed narrative, a simplified message for how that issue is being conveyed in the public. If that issue is right, then you should start with politics and then gravitate towards the courts. If that narrative is wrong, then you should start with the courts, break down the issue in its fundamental elements, as complex as possible, and then work to reduce that complexity into a simplified message, a rebranding campaign, if you will. So let's take, for example, wearing masks. Probably one of the most controversial issues today, given how quickly and haphazardly the CDC seems to change their stance on wearing masks. The issue of wearing masks, as it is broadcasted by the CDC, is very jumbled and mixed. It's very hard to understand. In situations like that, where the messaging is mixed, unclear, and subject to change, it's best to begin with the courts, understand the complexity of the issues, and then work to simplify that complexity in a manner that can be simplified in a way that maximizes public good. That is how to take a complex concept that is not properly understood in the political arena and helping to address it in a manner that focuses on the full complexity and then how that complexity is reduced. Let's take a counterexample, abortion. Abortion, as it is understood as a medical condition, subject to ethical and societal pressures, but fundamentally necessary in certain medical conditions, is the generally accepted understanding of abortion in the medical community. We can argue on the nuances, but generally speaking, the messaging is right. Our understanding of abortion is correct. So in situations like that, where the courts have understood the complexity of the issues already, you begin in the political arena. You begin with broadcasting the reduced messaging of that complex issue and rehash it in the minds of the public to strengthen that perspective. That is how the issue of abortion continues to be addressed in the court of public opinion among the legislators. It has yet to be fully addressed in its fundamental core aspects in the courts since the 1970s with Roe v. Wade. Attempts in the courts to address it have simply sidestepped the core medical need underlying abortion and focused on various cases of restrictions, effectively using the courts to expound upon a political messaging, ignoring the medical issues at hand. This is how medical issues and healthcare as a whole can be changed. Focus on what is the broadly understood concept among politicians and the public. If it is right, focus on the political arena. If it is wrong, focus on the courts, the complex understanding of the issues that are leading to these misunderstandings when it's reduced and simplified. This framework, while not complete and definitely not applicable to all medical issues, is a great starting point for us to understand how to effectively implement change in healthcare and where to begin change based on how the courts work and how politics works. And with that, I leave you for the day. Thank you.